don't address or at least talk about some of the long-term care issues and what's going on in long-term care on the North Dakota side. There's always, in my whole time as a legislator and beyond, been issues when it comes to staffing. I'm convinced that there will be when I'm bait for worms. I mean, it's going to happen. It's a problem. But being able to have that facility close, to have that place that you can take your mother, your father, your aunt, your uncle, your grandpa, your grandma, and know that they're going to get quality care. Where are we at today on it versus where we were before? And one of the people that I've worked with a long time in the legislature was Shelley Peterson. She's president of the North Dakota Long-Term Care Association, and she's giving us her time today. Shelley, good to have you on News and Views.
Thank you, Joe. It's great to be here.
Describe where we're at today, not where we were before. I think people pretty much know where we were before, but there is some good news when it comes to long-term care.
There is actually great news. We in North Dakota care for 19,000 individuals annually that need long-term care. So whether they need 24-hour care or just a little bit of care and they're in assisted living facilities, but over 19,000 North Dakotans every year. The positive news is when we look at quality measures, North Dakota's in the top 25%. We're in the top quadrant. So we provide a great quality of care. The other news, though, is we're really struggling with our workforce. Our workforce is our number one issue. We need people to take care of people. When we look at job satisfaction and we look at those that are working in long-term care, it is a great profession. They have high job satisfaction. They love it when they come to us. But trying to secure that stable workforce has been a challenge. But it's a great career opportunity.
Well, let me ask you this. Why is it a challenge to secure those workers?
Well, our current challenge is North Dakota's low unemployment. You know, when we saw the news yesterday, I think North Dakota was number one in the nation. Fargo was number two. So just the pool of people that we're drawing from is very low. The other thing are wages. You need to have a good salary and benefit plan to attract a workforce, to reward a workforce, so that workforce can take care of their family. So we're working very diligently to get our salary and wages up. We looked at job service data. And job service data, the most current data we had during the last session was 2012. And when we looked at our average employee, it was around 25,000 versus North Dakota's average worker was 44,000. So we're absolutely committed. We must get those salaries up. The legislature has been very responsive. In the last session, they did give a salary wage adjustment in July. And so if
of what?
Of July of 2013.
No. Of what? What was the salary adjustment?
A dollar.
And what did that dollar take you to percentage-wise?
It was probably around 4 or 5%.
So a buck is basically giving somebody a $2,000 raise a year.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So if you're at 25,000, you just took them to 27,000.
Yes. And it was, you know, for hopefully the vast majority of all long-term care employees out there. And as a result of that, then the private pay individuals did see a bump in their rates because the legislature has to appropriate. They put it into the Medicaid rates. And then we have a very high private pay population. But the positive thing about that rate adjustment and that wage pass-through is every single penny last summer went into the wages of the people caring for you. It went into the cook. It went into the housekeeper. It went into the CNA caring for you. It went into the nurse.
See, I understand that. And I think that that's a start. I'm not even going to say a good start, Shelley, because I would advocate for more at a time when North Dakota has the type of funding that they have. But what I'm getting at is, for a long time, it always seemed to me that there was a catch-22 here, because many of the people that legislate in this state are of the mindset that they don't qualify for certain things others do. And so they are private pay in some cases. And what you just described was a recipe that by putting money in over here, you force the balloon to pop out a little bit more over there. And so now private pay had to pay more, right?
Right. And in North Dakota, we have equalization of rates. And for 20-some years, North Dakota has had the policy and the position that when Medicaid is going to set the rate for the private pay and for Medicaid, and we cannot charge a nickel, a penny more. Whereas in the other states, except Minnesota, only Minnesota and North Dakota have their state legislatures set the rate, and you can't charge more, which means we can't cost shift. We can't have the private pay more. So it's a good, equitable policy. It's fair to all North Dakotans. And North Dakota and Minnesota are the only two states in the nation that have ever done that.
Although in Minnesota, what I'm hearing more and more is on the Minnesota side that Minnesota is not keeping up with costs. And,
yes.
And you're seeing a shift for the first time in many years. You're seeing a shift from Minnesota to North Dakota, where for years it went just the opposite way on these border cities.
Yes, we're hearing that from Minnesota too, that their legislature is not keeping up with costs. Facilities are really struggling. They're struggling with staff. And we're at a much better position. Our legislature has responded and has put money into long-term care, and we'll continue to need to go back to them for those rate adjustments to make sure we can continue to keep pace with inflation, pay our staff. And right now in North Dakota, we have 2/3 of the facilities using contract agency staff. That's temporary staff coming in. And that then you don't get to know the resident as well. They don't understand the care plan as well, and it just goes downhill.
Well, they're not community-based. In many cases, they're not.
Right. You know, they're great to have, because when you need them to take care of people. But we really want to be able to rely upon our own workforce that's dedicated there day after day, taking care of your mom.
Yeah, well, my mom didn't have a good day yesterday. I mean, I don't think she's going to get mad at me for saying this, because she's having a better day today. But she didn't have a good day yesterday. Mm-hmm. I broadcast from Fergus Falls, and lucky for me, unfortunate for mom, I was able to be, my sister Julie is like the rock in our family. She's the one closest to where mom's at. So she gets the call in the middle of the night. She goes in and folks, my mom is fine. Okay. Mom would be mad if I'm making it sound like she's on a real bad side, but mom's going to be fine. But so I stop in on the way to Fergus Falls and I visit with mom. On the way home, for the first time in many days, I got time. I get to just go sit and hang out with mom at the nursing home. By doing that, I got to visit with one of the people I respect the most in long-term care. This woman who is a wonderful nurse, very practical, very blunt, which is what I love about her. She tells you the truth. It's just boom there. And I look at her and I said, you know, we were talking about her career and where her career was going and what she, and I thanked her for what she had done for my mom and others like her. And she had worked with my wife for years. And I said to her, I said, Brenda, where does this go? I mean, what's, she goes, Joel, we're never going to fix this. And I don't think she's going to get mad at me for saying this on air. We're never going to fix this until what these people do, these people that I get to work with every day, until what they do is considered a career, or they perceive it to be a career, which you and I know, Shelley, means a couple of things. It means obviously respect, which I hope they get, but it also means money. It also means you're making enough money that you've advanced your life and can achieve the goals in your life. And so a buck pay isn't going to do it. I mean, right? We're getting there. It's a good start.
It's a beginning. We're getting there.
But we've got to put more into this.
It is. And, you know, when we look at the career and the opportunity, when we look over history at women-dominated professions as long-term care, traditionally those workplaces are paid less for whatever reason. And maybe the value of the work in the past wasn't as good, but we value our elders in North Dakota. We value them as a nation, but sometimes we don't put the resources in. We're beginning.
But we have it now.
We have it, but we're really seeing the resources come into it. When we look at the average wage of a CNA in North Dakota, probably in the four cities, it's probably $14, $15. So we're proud with that. We want it to increase. Nursing staff wages are going up. Cooks are going up, but what we're seeing, especially in Western North Dakota, is an unbelievably high paid workforce and more career opportunities. And so we're losing, our cooks, our dietary managers.
So what are you doing to counter that?
Staff. The only thing we can do is try to be competitive and put more money into wages, which means.
Did they give you that option in the legislature?
You can. What you do is we got a 3% inflator in our January 1 rate. So we got the wage pass through last summer and a 3% inflator in January. What it means then is, okay, 3% might not be enough. So I'm going to increase my salaries another dollar or $2, and I'm going to foot the bill up front to try to get my wages up. So there is flexibility within the payment system. If you as a facility feel you need to increase wages above and beyond what you were paid, but what happens is you don't have the cash flow to pay that, you know, to pay that
money. You can't do it.
Well, you have to borrow. You have to go into your reserves. You have to maybe put maintenance on the side. And we want to.
But did the state put the money behind that in some of these oil-related counties where this is such an issue?
You know what? What they did in Western North Dakota is they gave us about $750,000 a year for the about 25 facilities in Western North Dakota. It was based on an FTE count, not based on oil impact and greatest need. So it wasn't the best methodology for distributing the money. But there was, you know, altogether $2 million for developmentally disabled and long-term care. We, for long-term care, had requested $5 million just for us to help in those counties, help in those facilities. And it came out, when you split out the money based on FTEs, it went from a low of probably $37 to one facility. Small facility, to one in Minot that is going to receive over $100,000. But it was not sufficient. And maybe we didn't lay our case well enough before the legislature.
But we're
going to go back. We're going to go back. I've talked to a number of legislators. And even though this
was... By the time you go back, it's 2015.
Yes, but this was supposed to be considered one-time money to take care of the problem. But the problem isn't taken care of. So we're going to go back and respectfully ask for more because the issue is still out.
Okay. Shelley Peterson, she's a president of North Dakota's Long-Term Care Association. We're talking about long-term care. We're talking about the issues facing Western North Dakota in terms of staffing. Shelley, what do you do at the college level? What do you do there to, do you get a chance to go on campus and say, look, you may never be a millionaire doing this, but it is a worthwhile career?
You know, it's in our university system, we have a number of colleges and we have a number of nursing programs. Those nursing programs are at their maximum and have students clamoring to get in. Our position has been we need to look at the jobs with the greatest demand in North Dakota and open up more slots, have more opportunity for kids to go to school because those that want to go to school and want to be a nurse, many of them can't get in. And so so we need to look at, can we open up more slots? Can we have more professors? It's putting more money into education simply because the classes are full. We met this week with the university system, the two-year community colleges, and are looking at different ways of having the classroom, you know, over the internet. But we still need clinical experiences. We still need that hands-on care. So, yes, we are in discussion with them because we need more slots because we have kids out there that want to go to school and want to be a nurse.
I have to ask this, though. You know, I remember you lobbying, and I remember other big-time advocates for long-term care. I remember my sisters from St. Francis that work at St. Gerard's coming in and yeah. and them being my ace in the hole when I tried to push the facility in Hankinson and say, look, we have to be able to compete with Minnesota. We want people to stay closer. And when those nuns would come in, they were effective. Nobody would not give them time in the hallway. But you know, those were days when money was tight. It was so short. Why are we having this talk now? Why is it so hard to convince these people that, you know, because the average age of the legislature, they're knocking on the door of being in these long-term care facilities. Why can't we convince them that this is something that all this surplus money, some of it can go towards this?
I don't know that we can't convince them. They've been pretty responsive. However, I think the issue, my experience has been, is when there is a lot of money, quote, a lot of money, it is far more difficult because every sector has priorities. Everyone sees the map a little bit different. Everyone has great demands. And when we all come forward, it's very difficult sometimes to get our message through. You know, it's long-term care. It's taking care of mom and dad. It's not energy. It's not egg. It's not some of those very high sectors that drive North Dakota's economy.
But isn't it because they believe that it's the role of the federal government?
You know, I don't get that sense. No,
I do at times. I think that when people go on Medicare, then they start thinking Medicaid. I think the people start trying to pour down grandpa and grandma so that they qualify for certain things. I get that sense.
I feel a great responsibility from the legislature, and we try to, you know, put it out in plain terms of what the impact means. But we also are an economic impact. They employ well over 15,000 individuals, and they're their local communities.
Okay. Shelly, stick around. One more, and then I'll let you go to your meeting, okay?
Okay.
Let's get to some of the emails and some of the text messages. We'll be back with more on long-term care and get a chance to have you take part as well. 1-800-880-5346. If you have a question or a comment for Shelly, right now is the time. Welcome back to News and Views. Shelly Peterson's with us for a little while longer. Want to get to some of these text message questions. 35270. That's where you can join us in our text club. 35270. Text in the word Joel, and the questions get to me right away. It says, Shelly, I know they are underpaid, but the amount a resident pays for nursing home care, why is pay such a problem?
The cost of care for an average day in a nursing facility is about $218 a day. Of that $218, about 70% of that is directly towards staffing. The other costs then are fuel, foods, medical supplies, taking care of the building, maintenance, those kinds of things. But it's, you know, even when you look at health insurance right now, health insurance is increasing significantly for a number of facilities. So just besides taking care of staff, there are other operational things. In North Dakota, we want nice buildings. More and more facilities are remodeling to have a private room, because when you go into a facility, you don't want to suddenly have a roommate at age 85. You want your own room. So we're investing money in buildings, and we're investing them in our staff. So it's, the cost of care is increasing.
When I was there, one of the big focuses was on keeping these small town care facilities open,
yeah,
so that not everyone had to go to Fargo, to Williston, to Bismarck, to Minot. Have we achieved that goal? Have we kept some of these open? I know in my home community, St. Gerard's does a fabulous job. But in terms of long-term care, have we kept that goal?
We've had probably 9 facilities close in the last 5 or 6 years. Most of those are all in rural North Dakota. And it's been one of two issues. Financially, it's not been viable. They just can't operate and keep the doors open. But number two is they can't find the staff. The third issue is older people. We see a redistribution of our population, older people moving out of rural communities. An example of one facility that closed was in Williston, North Dakota. They closed last year. And theirs was a staffing crisis. They flew staff in from out of state. They paid double time. They paid overtime. They had contract agency staff, and they still did not have sufficient staff. So staffing is a significant issue in rural facilities. Our younger people sometimes are moving to the cities. Our older people are moving away. So staffing and financial viability is a huge issue.
What is the different criteria between independent living, assisted care, long-term care? I think sometimes people think of long-term care, and they mishmash everything all together.
Yeah, long-term care is really the continuum of care. A skilled nursing facility, residents generally need help in taking care of themselves, need help in feeding, toileting, taking care of themselves, dressing themselves, going down the hall. They need 24-hour care and supervision. Generally, they're on 11 different medications, and they need help with every activity throughout the day and assistance. Significant assistance generally. In a basic care facility, you still have staff there 24/7. However, they need support. They need queuing. They can feed themselves. They can give themselves a bath. But they need just some supervision and help throughout the day. In assisted living, that's really more you get your apartment. It's an apartment-like facility, anywhere from a studio to a luxurious 3-bedroom apartment. And then you contract for just the services that you need. Generally, we see in assisted living that they're more... they have some more physical challenges. They might need assistance with a walker, but mentally they're doing very, very well. And it's a retirement community more. Mm-hmm. So it's just as you know, assisted living is most independent. You need just a little bit of help. You contract for what you need, but you can pretty much take care of yourself in your apartment. Basic care, a little more help. Staff available 24/7. You need your meals prepared. You need your space cleaned. You might need a little bit of help with a bath. But in nursing facilities, at that spectrum, you need the constant supervision of nursing staff, You have medical conditions that are far more complex. You have medical conditions that need more treatment. You have more involvement of physicians, nurse practitioners, nursing staff.
The reason I bring that up is because not everything needs to be a long-term care facility. And yes. and for some people to transition to long-term care, to have to go to some of the bigger communities, you know, it seems to me that there is still a place in some of these rural places for assisted living.
Oh, absolutely. Assisted living is very popular throughout North Dakota. Right now, we have 73 assisted living facilities spread throughout North Dakota. We have 80 skilled nursing facilities and 68 basic care facilities. So we have a lot of different types of facilities spread throughout North Dakota in some very rural communities and in all the urban communities.
Is the certification as hard for them?
For nursing facilities, you need to be Medicare certified and licensed, and everyone must meet the same standards. And in order to meet those standards, you have to have good quality staff.
And you get inspected,
right. And they're unannounced surveys. So they're unannounced. And you don't know when they're going to be there. And you have to meet every standard, and you strive to meet it. And we're really pleased to see in North Dakota, you know, that we do very well on quality measures. But it all hinges on our staff and having a good quality staff and having a dependable staff and having that staff show up each day. And have it be a career that they feel good about.
Well, we're not going to make it a career at $27,000 a year.
Well, that's just the average, Joel. There are nurses.
That's the average. It also means there's some under it.
There's some under it, but there's some over it. And as I look at as a comparison of North Dakota and Minnesota, we as a state have really invested in long-term care. We have invested. And because even when I look at what we requested last legislative session, we requested the dollar. They gave us the dollar. We requested a 4% annual inflator, and they gave us 3%. We asked for money specifically for Western North Dakota. They gave us some, not sufficient, but we're going to go back, show them what's happening, and ask for more.
So your answer is the legislature is doing fine by long-term care.
The legislature has responded to our needs and will continue to call upon them. Yes, they've been. I'd have to say, when you look at a scorecard, I'd have to give them high marks.
So then it begs the question, why is it that people's rates are going up that are in long-term care?
Because exactly what the legislature did. The legislature responded. The legislature put money into the rates. And when they do that, the private pay rates go up too because of our equalization law. So that's why the rates are increasing, because the legislature has responded. We've put a dollar in the wages. We've increased the inflation. And so as you do that, the rates increase.
But I wanted you to say that again so people understood that.
Yes.
So the private pay rates were never high enough in the first place, is what you're saying.
No, they were. They just needed to go higher as Medicaid increased their rates. As we went in and said we need to invest in our workforce, that means the private pay rates go up just as the Medicaid rates go up. And so that's why. That is why.
Okay. I guess the other question that's begged out all of that is, you know, when it comes to long-term care, you know, we always talk about the only people that really government needs to focus on are the young, the old, the rest of us can take care of ourselves in a perfect society, right? Well, sometimes I think we're really focused on the young with this surplus of money, but we're not that focused on the elderly. And that drives me nuts. Pam, you're on with Shelley Peterson. Go ahead, Pam.
I guess I just have a comment and then a question. My mother was in a nursing home in a rural community, and what we found is that the majority of the staff was very good, but, you know, they were so short-staffed. You know, sometimes an aide had as many residents, 10 residents to one aide, and they're just, it wasn't possible for them to give the care to that resident. I mean, I was up there every day for the last couple months of her life, and I did a lot of the care.
Mm-hmm.
And my question is, how do they set, you know, what is the standard of care for something like that, and who sets that, you know, the number of aides per resident?
Thanks, Pam. It's a great question.
It is a great question. When we look at staffing in general, in fact, I just looked at this yesterday to see what our staffing is in North Dakota compared to the rest of the nation. How do we staff our LPNs, our RNs, and our CNAs? And we're actually over the national average. The national average was 4.1 hours per day of those staff, and that's direct service to residents. Our, the national average was 4.0, and we are 4.1. So we're a little bit over the national average in the amount of staff we have. However, staffing every day is a challenge. You know, when you have people that might get sick or not show up, or you've recruited someone and then they don't come to work.
What's the average work life of a nursing assistant in terms of when they say, I'm out of this line of work?
You know, well, Joel, our oldest employee, guess how old the oldest employee is that was working in long-term care?
I would guess in her 80s. She probably still wanted to.
100 years old.
Okay.
She turned 100 years old in December, and she decided to retire.
Tell me where she was working.
Bowman, North Dakota.
Oh, really?
Bowman, North Dakota. So she just retired in December. She was a dietary aide, and they absolutely miss her. So
when, I don't doubt it for a bit.
Yeah, and she ran circles around the younger population there. So we have an older than average workforce. We have 1/3 that are looking at retirement in the next 5 to 7 years. And so, yes, staffing, the average, we have many CNAs. I mean, when you go to work each day, you know, when you leave that job and you're exhausted because you do work hard, it's physically demanding and emotionally a great return. But you go home each day knowing you made a difference in someone's life. But
they should get paid for that. That's
they
my
are.
Problem.
They are getting paid, and we're going to get them paid better. And the key is advocating with our legislature.
I'm going to hold you to that.
Okay.
We'll see how the next session does, and we'll see how hard you push these guys because they have the money, Shelley. They do. They have the money. All right, let's go find Terry Spees.